May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Even if the Denver Broncos and the Carolina Panthers are not your favorite teams, we probably at least are aware that later today they are playing in the 50th Super Bowl. For 2 weeks, the hype has been building over these two teams. And to some extent, veteran quarterback Peyton Manning and relative newcomer Cam Newton have resting on this game their fame or reputation, or we might say their glory. The gospel reading for today, the Transfiguration of our Lord, speaks of glory in that sense of reputation, as well as speaking of glory in the senses of power and the divine mode of being. In fact, St. Luke's divinely inspired account of Jesus' transfiguration that we heard moments ago is the only account of his transfiguration to use the word glory. And not only in regards to Jesus, but also in regards to Moses and Elijah. This morning, as we reflect on the gospel reading, we will realize that Jesus shares his glory with Moses and Elijah, and also with us. And so this morning, we reflect on the gospel reading under the theme, Shared Glory. Since today is the last Sunday of this year's Epiphany season, we have jumped forward in St. Luke's gospel account to what is the greatest revelation of the glory of God from the flesh of the man, Jesus Christ. Yet even if we had four other Sundays that in some years occur in the Epiphany season, we still would not have gotten all the way up to the verses right before today's gospel reading, verses that are important for understanding today's reading. In those verses, Jesus brought forth from Peter a confession that he is the Christ of God. Jesus told his disciples that he must suffer many things, and Jesus called them to deny themselves and to take up their crosses daily and follow him, adding that there were some standing there who would not taste death until they saw the kingdom of God. Then about 8 days after those sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he was praying, the disciples perhaps were sleeping, and the appearance of Jesus' face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. Although St. Luke does not use the term transfigured, he nevertheless describes Jesus' face becoming like that of another nature. In fact, Jesus' divine nature as true God, also radiating out through his clothing. Moses and Elijah appeared in glory and were talking with Jesus about his departure, or exodus, which Jesus was about to accomplish or fulfill at Jerusalem. The two men appear together in the last chapter of the Old Testament, and both had somewhat unusual departures from their earthly lives. We heard of Moses's today in the Old Testament reading, although there is also a tradition that Moses perhaps later was translated to heaven, where Elijah was carried up by a whirlwind. And the three awake disciples see Jesus's glory, and the two men standing with him. They arguably tried to delay the men's departure from the scene without realizing what that delay would mean. And they hear God the Father's voice from a cloud, identify Jesus as his son, his chosen one, and tell them to listen to him. We usually excuse Peter's attempt to delay anyone's departure from the mountaintop by saying that he did not yet understand, as Jesus had said, that both for Jesus and his followers, The path to true glory was through suffering. In so excusing Peter's guilt, to some extent, we make our own guilt worse. For we have the benefit of the full revelation of Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. And yet, do we not also have different ideas about glory? Maybe we think our glory is in our legacy that we might leave behind, sort of like a quarterback's having won a Super Bowl. Maybe we think our glory is in our church's buildings or in the number of people in them or in our personal fitness or our health. Do we not also wrongly try to avoid or delay suffering? Not that we should seek suffering, but maybe we somehow doubt that God will use it ultimately for our good or bring us through it. Do we not also speak without knowing what we are saying instead of listening to Jesus? Maybe we also have no idea what the consequences would be of the action that we might like for God to take. Or maybe we just don't like what Jesus has to say. Truly, we sin in these and in countless other ways, for we are sinful by nature. And because of our sinful nature and our actual sins, apart from faith in Jesus Christ, we deserve eternal torment in hell. And yet, out of God's great love for us, God put the punishment that we deserve on his own Son, his chosen one. So as with Moses and Aaron and Samuel before us, as we sang in today's psalm, God answers us when we call to him. When we call to him in sorrow over our sin and in faith that trusts God to forgive our sins. God answers such repentant calls by forgiving our sins. Our sin of different ideas of glory, our sin of trying to avoid or delay suffering, our sin of speaking without knowing what we are saying instead of listening to Jesus, or whatever our sin might be. God forgives all our sin, and he forgives it for Jesus' sake. Jesus was his chosen one, a chosen son, chosen to bring justice and righteousness to the nations. As today's epistle reading made clear, that son had greater glory than Moses, or Elijah, for that matter. For the Son had glory with the Father before the world ever existed. Such glory is God's majesty as a perfect being and supreme ruler. It's his reputation, his power, and his divine way of being. That God has such glory should not be all that surprising. But in today's gospel reading, the disciples see such glory from the man Jesus, in whom the divine and human natures are personally united. St. Luke had previously told how the glory of the Lord had shone around the shepherds at Jesus' birth. And this is the only other time such glory is expressly related to Jesus before his resurrection. Here at Jesus' transfiguration, he shows forth such glory from the same body that was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He shows forth such divine glory from the same body that he let suffer and be crucified on the cross for us. That death on the cross for us was God's plan, testified by Moses and Elijah and the whole of the Old Testament, confirmed by the Father's voice, and later accomplished or fulfilled in Jerusalem, to where soon after the events of today's gospel reading, Jesus set his face firmly to go. Jesus had the right idea about glory. He did not avoid or delay his suffering, and he listened to the Father and spoke with perfect knowledge. Jesus also made up for our failures to do those things and our failures to do countless other things. As we repent and believe, Jesus' exodus delivers us from our slavery to sin, out of this world, to the promised land in heaven. As the Father directs us, we who repent and believe listen to Jesus. We listen to Jesus speak to us in his word read and his word preached. We listen to Jesus in his word applied with water in holy baptism, where we are adopted by grace as God's children, his chosen ones. We listen to Jesus speak to us in his word that forgives us our sins in individual holy absolution. And we listen to Jesus speak to us in his word, combined with bread and wine in holy communion, to give us his body and his blood, and so also the forgiveness of sins. As all the Old Testament people of the Exodus, brought into God's covenant by circumcision, ate the Passover lambs and the manna, so all of us New Testament people of the greater Exodus, brought into God's covenant by baptism, eat the Lamb of God, who take away the sins of the world, the true bread that came down from heaven and gave his flesh for the life of the world. We eat his flesh and we drink his blood, and so we have eternal life and will be raised up on the last day. So hearing Jesus speak to us, we are forgiven and made holy. And we try to lead holy lives with the right idea about the path to true glory through suffering. When we fail, as we do, we turn in repentance and faith. And so we live every day in God's forgiveness and forgiving one another. Like us, Moses and Elijah were forgiven sinners, and yet the disciples in today's gospel reading saw them appear in glory, even as Jesus appeared after his resurrection. At the resurrection of all flesh, Jesus likewise will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. The glory we will have then far exceeds any earthly ideas we have about glory, including Super Bowl glory. And the glory we have then is not even worth comparing to the suffering that we experience here and now. First, however, before we share in that glory, by God's grace, we complete our journeys to glory through the sufferings of this life, including the penitential season of Lent that begins this coming Ash Wednesday. Amen. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.